Today's episode on Twerk Creativity is being recorded in nature. Hey, welcome to Toward Creativity, a podcast by Benjamin Harding. That's me. You can find me on Instagram at bhardingmusic and on my website at benjaminharding.net. Toward Creativity is to serve as a guide in conversations centered around tips, tools, and strategies in an effort to help you build a sustainable creative career. Let's get into today's episode. This episode of Twerk Creativity is being recorded right now in my backyard. It's a beautiful day outside, and I promise you, I am not pumping in bird sounds to make it sound like I'm in nature. These are the actual birds in my backyard that you're hearing right now, and it is a gorgeous day here in Pennsylvania. Today, we're going to talk about 5 ways to deal with performance anxiety. All of my life, I've been dealing with an incredible amount of nervous energy before I go on stage. It's been a journey, and I've learned so much about how to deal with performance anxiety as a classical pianist that I want to share 5 tips and tools and strategies that could help you to deal with performance anxiety as you begin to think about going on stage and public speaking or presenting your creative work. These are 5 tips that I hope help you to develop ways that you can deal with performance anxiety. The first one is really important, okay? You've got to develop a habitual practice of deep breathing and mindfulness. This is so helpful to me, and there are so many apps out there that can help you with this practice. I've mentioned Headspace before with Andy Puddicombe. I really enjoy his work, and he really understands the practice of mindfulness and deep breathing. I use an app called Abide. It's a Christian app that helps me to work through things that I'm dealing with in my own life, and it's been really, really helpful. It goes through ancient texts and helps me to get centered on those ancient texts and focus on my breathing and connecting my whole person. But physiologically, it's shown that as you begin to work on mindfulness and incorporate the discipline of mindfulness in your life, that you begin to see the physiological benefits of such a practice. Okay? So I have a watch that monitors my heart rate. And when I practice mindfulness and deep breathing, I can literally see my heart rate go down into a restful state. Folks, you've got to connect your body and embrace your body in how it's feeling as you begin to enter into a stressful situation like presenting in public. And so for me, this has been really, really helpful in the deep breathing and mindfulness space to visualize myself performing and seeing how that affects my breathing and how that affects my mindfulness. Establishing this kind of practice is going to be helpful because you're going to notice that when you get into a stressful situation, you're able to draw upon that habit of deep breathing and mindfulness and go into a deeper place within yourself and explore the possibilities of dealing with performance anxiety. Okay, so deep breathing and mindfulness. And again, there are so many applications and resources out there that you can explore to find what works for you. Number two, you've got to practice performing. So we as musicians are really used to practicing, really critically analyzing how we're sounding and what kind of things we need to do in order to make our sound better, right? So we are constantly criticizing ourselves in a hopefully a positive way, although we all know that when we're working as musicians, we can be hard on ourselves, and we've devoted the last episode to that. We need to positively encourage ourselves and speak kindly to ourselves as we're working through problems in our practicing. However, we are looking at our music in a critical way, and that's important, right? You want to build habits and processes that make you better. But when you're performing, your mind should be freed up from that inner critic. And I'm going to give you a resource at the end of the episode that will help you categorize the performance self and what you need to be in that moment and what you need to be in the moment when you're practicing. And so when you're practicing or learning a piece of music, it's different than when you're performing a piece of music. And so we need to practice performing. We need to practice performing. Maybe that's in front of your friends or trusted mentors where you're practicing performing a set and your band is presenting and in full out performance, but within a closed group of friends that are really supportive and really want to help you. Okay, so that's practicing performing. That's step two. You could also do this as a public speaker, right? So you could get a group of friends and present your topic as if you're presenting in front of 1,000 people. And number three, the third step is going to help you to analyze that performance or other performances that you've had. And we've all got to start doing this and get comfortable with what we're doing. And step number three is this: record and analyze your performance. I know it's so cringe, right? You hate, if you're like me, you hate doing that because you're like, oh man, that, ooh, you know, and you hear all of this, the mistakes. But I can tell you this, that if you do this on a regular basis, all those cringeworthy moments begin to fade away and you begin to think about why those cringe moments happened and you begin to develop strategies to overcome those cringeworthy moments for the next time. If you're like me, you're a big fan of football. I'm a big fan of the NFL, and you know that coaches and players spend a lot of time in the film room watching play after play after play and understanding where they made a mistake and where their opponents have strengths and weaknesses. One of the greatest football players of all time, Tom Brady, spends hours upon hours upon hours analyzing film and then making a list, bringing it to his coaches and saying, I think we need to do this, this, and this against this opponent. And I need to do this, this, and this in order to get better. So recording and analyzing your performances or your public speaking is so crucial to going forward and helping yourself to get better. Now, why am I saying this as a tip or a tool to deal with performance anxiety? Wouldn't this cause more performance anxiety? No. Entering into that space, entering into that space where you were nervous or you were anxious is so important in developing resilience. And the more confident that you can become in presenting, the more in depth that you can go as to analyzing what you sound like, how you come across in a public space is going to help you to deal with performance anxiety, because you're going to develop confidence. You're going to develop confidence. Yes, it seems counterintuitive, but trust me, it does work. Number four, here's another tip. The fourth tip to deal with performance anxiety is to do some cardio. Do some cardio. Having a resting heart rate that is normal for your age or even a little under normal for your age is huge, because what happens when you get nervous? Your heart rate begins to rise. Your breathing becomes more shallow. And so if you can train to bring your heart rate down, whether that's running, jump rope is amazing for bringing your resting heart rate down, swimming, doing some sort of cardio, walking, you got to do some kind of exercise anyway, so you might as well devote your exercise to bringing down your resting heart rate so that you can perform at a higher level and that you can experience a better physiological state as you are performing. It's been so helpful to me. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten on stage and I've been performing and I came to a particular passage in a piece where I felt, oh my goodness, I am going to miss this. And then relying back on my deep breathing and mindfulness training and experiencing the deep breathing and lowered heart rate that accompanies that with my running and cardio training, I can't tell you how many times that has helped me in dealing with peaks and ebbs of performance anxiety on stage. So that's number four, do some cardio. All right, number five. Now, this is where I need to say, I am not a medical professional. And you need to go and see a doctor to do this. But number five is see a doctor, a cardiologist, about beta blockers. For some of us, it's a physiological state that we cannot overcome in deep breathing and mindfulness, in practicing performing, in recording and analyzing your performance, or even doing some cardio. Physiologically, our body just really elevates the heart rate in a fight or flight situation, right? And so a natural beta blocker, as you may know, are bananas. And you'll see musicians and performing artists eat a lot of bananas before they go on stage. But even that sometimes is not enough to bring down the heart rate and bring down that anxiety. But beta blockers have been proven to help deal with performance anxiety on stage. And for some of us, physiologically, when we're on stage and we're nervous, our hands begin to shake, right? That's a physiological response to all of that nervous energy and that anxiety, that performance anxiety. And so the secret out there that performing artists have are that they go to their cardiologist and get a beta blocker. So that's tip number five. Maybe you need to go and talk to your doctor about the fact that you can't get control of your nerves through deep breathing and mindfulness, through habitually performing in front of people, from really, you know, doing some cardio and making sure that you're doing all the right things to bring down that heart rate in stressful situations. Maybe you might need a beta blocker, but you need to talk to a medical professional about that, and they need to issue actually a prescription. So at the beginning of the episode, I said that I would give you some resources, and I'll list these in the show notes as well. But in the 1970s, there was a book that came out, I believe it was in the 1970s. I'm pretty sure it was. It's called The Inner Game of Tennis, and it's turned into a series. So you've got The Inner Game of Music, for example. Look up this particular series because it's really helpful in terms of separating your sort of working on your skill as a performer and then actually working on performing. Okay? So check out the Inner Game of Tennis series. I have the Inner Game of Music on my bookshelf here. It's a really great resource. The other resource that I want to encourage you to take a look at is a sports psychologist who actually helps musicians, and he's on faculty at the Juilliard School, and he created this website called The Bulletproof Musician. Again, I'll list it in the show notes. Check out The Bulletproof Musician because his specialty is helping athletes and musicians deal with performance anxiety. All right, folks, thanks so much for joining me today on the Tour Creativity Podcast. Again, if you want to be a part of our growing community, search Tour Creativity in Facebook and find our Tour Creativity group, and you can join us there. And on Mondays at 12 noon, I jump on there and ask you questions and actually deal with questions that you've submitted to me through Instagram or through the website. All right, I'll talk to you soon.